Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to this bonus podcast material from Middays. I'm Susie Larson, continuing my conversation with our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl. Carol says, my son has high anxiety, high functioning autism, struggles with racing thoughts at night and cannot sleep. Any recommendation for him?
Yeah, there are a lot of doctors right now who are treating this scenario. So the big thing is with the sleep and the racing thoughts, we do see with autistic scenarios, it's important to get different testing done. One of them is on organic acids. So an organic acid test through Great Plains Lab is a great place to start with a doctor. And then generally speaking, we see that there's a breakdown in what's called the metallothionein barrier system. And so that is zinc dependent and sulfur dependent. And so a lot of times when you're on the spectrum, you don't have the ability to make those. So those are the two scenarios that we look at that can really impact and help sleep, is getting the zinc, sulfur, and metallothionein proteins improved, and then getting the organic acids balanced. Because sometimes you'd be surprised when your metallothionein barrier system is not working in the gut, it's going to impact the brain. But the thing about the metallothionein barrier system is it binds to all of the metals that are in our food. And people don't realize this, but there's heavy metals in everything you eat. And so, especially if it's not organic, there's even more, but those metals get bound in our gut and taken out right away instead of being absorbed. When you're on the spectrum, you've lost that ability. And so these metals get into the body and then there's no use for them in the body. So they get stored in different areas that just cause disruption. And then it's almost like having your electric nerves be a little bit more on edge because you've got more currents, because you've got literally metals conducting the currents.
Ah, wow. Yeah. Okay. I want to keep going on this fear thing. We've got some scripture, but there's so many people asking about sleep that I got to grab one more sleep question. Because I know millions of people battle this and are desperate. Anonymous, I sleep 2 hours, awake for 2 to 3 hours, and I sleep again for another two. Very frustrating. Thank you for giving me hope that sleep is possible. Well, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio and now on YouTube.
I know what you're going to say.
I got this advice from him, but I still want to be the person to say it. But it might not apply here, so then he can clean up for me after. But fiber and protein. So this is, again, I mean, do I have every issue in the world? But this was one of them for me. And you said, you first just said apple and chicken, just have a couple bites of chicken and an apple. And I'm like, what? And you said fiber protein because you have a blood sugar drop. And I cannot even believe what a difference that made. Is that kind of what you'd maybe recommend?
Yeah. So yes, exactly. It's reactive hypoglycemia. So that pattern is a reactive hypoglycemia pattern, which I know why they asked that question, because that's the one thing I've forgot when I was talking about the other sleep areas. But if your blood sugar drops too low at nighttime, it'll wake you up. It'll be a stress response and you'll be up for a couple hours. So the reason why it's a stress response is if your blood sugar drops too low, you release adrenaline or cortisol, similar to the sleep disorder when you don't get enough oxygen. The two things that will cause stress faster than anything is low oxygen and low blood sugar. And that's what we have to make sure is doing okay while we sleep at night. Now, reactive hypoglycemia can be combated during the day as well with a balanced low glycemic meal plan. So sugar during the day will wake you up at nighttime, and stress during the day will keep you up at nighttime as well. So it's all about trying to change a lifestyle. But in the beginning, you can definitely improve your sleeping through the night by actually getting a slightly longer sugar release, and fiber helps slow down the release of sugar. Whole foods like apples will do that as well. Protein will actually give you some energy in a slower release time, which is why we gave you an apple and a chicken before bed. Some people will do a shake with fiber in it.
Okay. So maybe we need to do a live stream on sleep as well, because there are people watching tonight that aren't in our network and maybe not listening to the show, but you should listen because we get Dr. Troy on once a month and it's phenomenal. So, this is another good question. I hope you guys don't mind we're talking sleep, but I have so many sleep questions coming in. What's a high melatonin dose? I can almost guarantee you, friend, I take way more melatonin than you do. Not that it's a competition, but okay. I take 5 milligrams. They say I take 5 milligrams sustained release, but it doesn't work. Would it be dangerous to take long-term? You need to probably answer that because...
Yeah. So everyone's different here. So back in the day, we actually used to only use 1 milligram, and there were studies that originally came out that showed that less melatonin was better for you. However, we are now finding out that we have to use more in different circumstances. So we will do even what's called a melatonin reset with some of our patients who have what's called a COMT genetic anxiety disorder, where we actually start them taking melatonin early in the day, and they're taking 2 to 5 grams every 2 to 3 hours. Now, only do that under a doctor's supervision, but we'll do that for 10 straight days to reset that area of the brain. Excuse me. And that helps curb the anxiety to get them back to sleep. So that's one of the extreme examples. In general, people will need 3 milligrams to 10 milligrams. If it's going to be effective. If it's not effective, something else is going on. And so melatonin for some people is just like a game changer. Most people have to fix other things before melatonin actually works. So there's usually other scenarios.
Brain hacks. Okay. And then we're going to get to our top fives. We each have a top five list on how to win the fear worry battle, and then we'll pray and wrap it up. So hang with me. So when, you know, let's talk, if you would, just say a quick word about, neural pathways, how they're formed through repetition, the things we focus on. Say just a quick word so we can understand why we need a hack, why we need to just interrupt the flow.
Yeah. So here's the 60-second version of the 12 years of neurology coursework I did. Basically, the brain needs two things more than anything. It needs, for it to survive, it needs to be activated. That's activated through any one of our senses. So that's taste, touch, sound, smell. All of those things stimulate nerve receptors that stimulate the brain, and then there's an experience there. And so muscle feedback is the biggest of all of them. That's why when we go to space, astronauts can only stay there for 2 years, because without gravity, they don't use their muscles. And within 2 years, they develop dementia and cognitive disorders. So we need that activation, that stimulus. Fuel supply is oxygen, sugar, and the cofactors. That's our diet, but we have to have oxygen and sugar first. So that's the formula for our nerves to be healthy.
Okay. Your top five: guard your thoughts, heal your gut, improve your sleep, improve your emotional environment, and exercise your mind and body. We just got a couple minutes, but I wonder if you want to just tackle one or two of those.
Yeah. So it's very similar to what we've been talking about tonight. So guarding your thoughts means being in the present and really looking at how much you're delving back in the past, how much you're in the future. And then, are your thoughts negative? Are they automatic negative thoughts? Are they in line with scripture? So you can just be really, really present with your thoughts, and that helps quite a bit. Healing your gut, fasting is very important, and getting that almost in that rest and digest is number two and three there that we spoke about. And focusing on those things really helps you manage and handle all stressors so that you don't get into that fear state. And then improving your emotional environment means just who you're hanging around with. And that includes yourself and your own self-defeating thoughts. So it's not just your friends or family. You want to be lifted up, not just at church, but listening to praise and worship. Just good friends with good conversation. And you know the friends we're talking about that lift you up versus the ones that are like Hoovers, we call them. They just suck that right out of you. And so, and then exercise your mind and body. Motion is life. We got to keep moving, and our mind, we have to use it in different ways. So if we're stressed, get more creative, start painting, start drawing. If you're looking at just physically moving, you're actually pushing your blood that has the sugar and the vital oxygen that we talked about earlier. You're pushing that to all your cells. And so if you don't use it, you lose it. And you're not going to get oxygen, sugar, and nutrients to your brain or body if you're not using them. So those are the top five. And when you do focus and get good at all five, you will be surprised at the expert you become in being courageous, and how you have the fear and you do it anyways. And people the most successful people in life become comfortable with the uncomfortableness of life. And this is what it looks like, is having the fear and doing it anyway.
Amen. Amen. I think those are great top fives. And then mine are these, the top spiritual fives for winning the fear worry battle. One is James 4:7. That's my first one. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God in that passage is a military term, and it means get back in rank. And the thing is, when the enemy comes against you, you got to first ask yourself, you know, he's a legalist. Have I given him access? Is he just taking advantage of me because I don't know I have rights? Or have I given him full access because I'm out of rank? Maybe you're not forgiving. Maybe you're harboring bitterness, whatever. You don't have any authority, as Watchman Nee says. You have no authority unless you're under authority. So the only way you can resist that devil is if you're submitted to God and under his authority. So first you get back in rank, submit to God, and then you resist the devil. You say, no, you don't get to have my family. You don't get to have my health. You resist him. And he has to flee. That is a powerful verse. So James 4:7 is my first one. Second is, much like Dr. Troy, guard your heart and change your mind. This just takes work, where it's a daily thing. Lord, show me what's trying to get into my heart. Show me the minute my thoughts go rogue so I can reset my course. If you got to do jumping jacks 100 times a day to catch yourself, to get yourself back on track, just do it. Third one, say what's true. That means pray it, say it, declare it. Did you know that science says that when you have rogue thoughts, the one thing that can interrupt rogue thoughts are the spoken word? So once you start speaking, let's say you're saying something different, your thoughts can no longer go rogue. So if you're saying what's true, even though you're thinking what's a lie, that is a hack. So you're thinking, nobody likes me. I'm so afraid I'm going to get this virus. I'm afraid I'm going to suffer. Then you stand up and go, you know what? God is good. His promises are true. He will always make a way for me. He is there for me. He has won the war. He determines when I live. He determines when he takes me home. I will not fear. He's able to keep me from falling. Just start saying what's true. It'll change everything. Four, worship. God inhabits the praises of his people. The enemy cannot handle it when God's people worship. If you want to send the enemy scurrying away, worship God, because God is worth it. But there's something incredibly powerful about worship. And then finally, look forward with a grateful heart, an expectant anticipation. Do you know that this, again, science is learning that when you have something on your calendar that you look forward to, that it actually releases feel-good hormones. A lot of times you hear people say, you know, I get so excited about the family gathering. I get more excited about planning it than actually when it happens, because maybe things didn't turn out the way I thought I would. And so I don't want to get my hopes up anymore. No, science says you should get your hopes up, because the virtue of looking forward to something on your calendar and planning for it is releasing all these feel-good hormones. It actually strengthens your immunities. It releases serotonin in your brain. I mean, I want you to think about that. So not only should you have something that you're looking forward to on your calendar, but as believers, we look forward to eternity, because Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us on the other side. The Bible says it's not even worth comparing. The trouble that we're going through now is not even worth comparing the joy that we're going to see on the other side. Isn't that amazing? So we have to develop a habit of looking forward with grateful expectancy. Anticipating sickness, disease, watching death tolls, and projecting a future of fear that God is not in has no place in the heart and the mind of the believer. Anticipating that God's going to be good, that he's going to be faithful to his word, like Dr. Troy said, anticipating that you're going to see some miraculous breakthroughs in the days ahead. That's what your heart is made for, because you're made in the image of God. Can somebody give me an amen? Because that's an amen. I'm just saying, that's an amen. What we're going after on the neural pathways is when you have whatever your repetitive thought patterns are, and we all have them, those things actually kind of, you've developed almost a trench in your brain. But when you are thinking and thinking about the same thing over and over again, maybe it's self-contempt, insecurity, fear, there's something in your brain that's taking your cues of consistent thought, and it's looking for evidence to back up what you believe, even if what you believe is a lie. So let's say you believe nobody likes you, and every time you go in a room, you're wondering what people are thinking. Your brain is looking for the slightest evidence, even if it's not true evidence. And this is what happens when we go to places of fear and worry over and over again. We have a little narrow pathway that we form. And before you know it, if you don't interrupt it, you've got a 4-lane superhighway of fear. So this is why we need a brain hack. So when you're in that rogue thought process, What you need to do is interrupt it. This is what scientists have found. Now, again, as Christians, we have the power of the living Jesus in us to help us do this, right? So if you're in a rogue thought where you're in trauma, fear, and you're all worked up, the best thing that you can do, scientists have said, and I think as a Christian, I just think it's empowered all the more as a believer, is do something different. Now, I know that just sounds so obvious, but don't try to think yourself out of it. Just stop. And I don't know what you like to do. Go running, do jumping jacks, turn on a Hallmark show. I mean, hop on YouTube and watch funny videos of little children that make you laugh. But that is the brain hack. Do something different. Now, that means later when things settle down, call a friend and settle in with them and say, okay, this was the thing that was coming at me. This is what felt true. Will you help me sort through what is true, right? Okay, another hack is put on an upbeat, happy music song and dance. Now, I know not everybody's a dancer, but I think everybody should be a dancer. So, I mean, Johnny Diaz's song, Joy, it just, you, how do you not dance to that song? But I'm serious, put together a dance playlist. And if you get fearful, I don't care if people think you're weird in your household. It does not matter. Yes, Mary says false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. Put on a dance music. But the point is you want to broadside that thought. So you've got this train of thought. You want to broadside it and do something completely different. And then you could revisit that fear later. So put on an upbeat song, have a funny go-to YouTube channel that you like of children doing silly things. Put on a Hallmark movie, exercise, do something like that. But then later, sit back down and sort through it and say, God, what was true? What felt true and what was true? Revisit the threat and reframe it with some truth. And then, as I said, start a memory journal. This would be really huge. As you start to do that, that's actually a good work for you to do, and it's something you can return to. Well, Doc, I want to thank you for your time and your unbelievable generosity with these giveaways. And I'm going to pray the right people find their way to you with these assessments and get the help that they need. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much for having me for most of the show. It was awesome.
Yeah. Wow. And thank you for tuning in tonight. I hope you found some encouragement here. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Father in heaven, I just thank you for my friend who's watching tonight. I pray, God, that you would tend to the traumas. Just as Dr. Troy said, we all have some kind of PTSD. Tend to the traumas, the large and the small traumas. I pray you'd untangle their fears. You'd heal their hurts, Lord God. You would heal their soul, make them whole, and redeem their lives from the pit in ways they never dreamed possible. I can tell by the comments tonight, many, many, many don't sleep, and this pandemic has not helped. God, your word says you grant sleep to those you love, and I know you love these friends. So I pray that you lead them on the path of healing, and deep sleep would begin to be theirs. I pray that you give them the faith to believe that deep restorative sleep is actually possible. I pray, God, you'd heal physical ailments. I pray you'd heal relationships, troubled relationships. And especially, God, I pray that you'd help us all be courageous. When the enemy tries to parrot fear and anxiety, when the news, when other external forces are coming at us, we would have high discernment. We would shut it down and we would guard our heart of faith so that we can be in a place of faith, so that we can share your word with a world that's so desperately in need. Mobilize us, God. We don't want to be paralyzed by fear. We want to be mobilized because of faith and hope and love, because you've given us a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. We commit these dear friends to you tonight. We thank you for the honor and the freedom to talk about you. We love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Doc. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. What a great, great night and great turnout it was. Lord bless you all. Thanks for listening to this bonus podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. This content is available thanks to the gifts of generous listeners just like you. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com.